Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. You know, yes, there with Owner of a Lonely Heart, that came off of their huge album in the 80s. And before that album came out, Yes was basically broken up. There was one of the guys in the band had a few songs, and he contacted a producer, and they thought it might have been a solo album by one of the Yes members. But then when the producer heard a couple of the songs, he said, look, I know you haven't talked to your old bandmates in Yes in a while. Why don't we get the band back together? Because I think these songs are going to be big. I think they're going to be hits, and it would be great for the band Yes. And at first, a couple of them were like, do we really want to get back together? But then they did. A few of them, they called it Yes. They recorded the album, and that was one of the songs right there, Owner of a Lonely Heart, and that became one of Yes's biggest songs ever. And I remember being a kid in high school seeing that tour. I saw the 90125 tour from Yes, but I didn't know until recently that they were basically broken up before that. And just one of the guys in the band had the songs, and so they called a few of the other guys in the band. They got back together. Let's do it again. And boy, was it a huge success. I remember the video for that song on MTV.
So why did they break up?
They had been together for a long time.
All right.
I mean, Yes had been together since, the late 60s. They had put out albums and had success and toured, but this was the early 80s now, and they just hadn't, they had been apart for a while.
All right, so it was no bad vibes and nothing. They just separated, maybe.
I think there was a couple of bad vibes. They just weren't getting along, and so that's why they weren't together. And then one of the guys in the band had written a few of these songs, and then it was a producer that said, you got to call the other guys, and we got to make this a Yes album. And they were like, really? And then, okay, we'll do it. And they did it, and it worked out great.
Okay. I was trying to imagine being a guy that came up with all these songs, and your intentions is for it to be a solo album, and you're not getting along with the guys. But the producer's like, no, you need to get, even though you've done all the work and wrote all the songs, you have to do it with the guys. And it's like, oh, do I have to?
That's what happened.
I got to do it with these guys. All right. All right. Where's the money?
And what was it? A couple of years ago, we had their singer, John Anderson, on our show. He was cool to talk with. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. The best investigative reporter here in the city of New Orleans is Lee Zurich. We used to have him come on our show when I used to do an afternoon show. Lee Zurich would come on a lot. But because of his hours, he's the primetime anchor of the Fox 8 local news here in New Orleans, besides being their investigative reporter and the best investigative reporter in the city. But Lee Zurich he's one of those guys, you know, they used to say, nobody ever wanted to see one of the men on 60 Minutes on that television show walking down their driveway, knocking on their door. Because if someone from 60 Minutes was knocking on your door, it couldn't be good news. Well, that's how Lee Zurich is in and around New Orleans. You know, if Lee Zurich comes walking down your driveway, boy, you're really not going to want to answer the door. It's not because he's not a nice guy. Lee Zurich's a nice guy. You know, he went to Isidore Newman High School. And he played on the same high school football team with Peyton Manning. He was on his offensive line at Isidore Newman High School. Lee Zurich was an offensive lineman there.
Now he's on the front line in the media.
Yeah, he goes from one line to another line. And nice guy, good guy, but if you see him come walking down your driveway, you live around New Orleans, it's not going to be good because he's coming to ask you questions about something that you did wrong. And his latest investigative pieces are on, he's with Fox 8 here in New Orleans. I was reading what Lee Zurich just did. He found that a few New Orleans police officers were earning money for not working when they said they were working. There's this one New Orleans cop who averaged making $200,000 a year from 2018 to 2020. $200,000 a year. Now, Coleman, we've talked about how the New Orleans Police Department, they're over 500 police officers short, and they have been for a decade because of a federal consent decree. And we need cops here in the city of New Orleans. We're desperate for cops. We're over 500 short. And you said, well, they don't make that much money, plus the job isn't that great. I hear morale over there isn't that great. How are we going to get more cops? Well, when you see some cops making $200,000 a year, and they make that salary because of the extra work they do, the overtime work they do, when they put in for paid details at places like Rouse's, you know, sometimes you'll see a New Orleans cop somewhere, and it's because they're doing overtime work, but they're getting paid for that. What Lee Zurich found with a few New Orleans cops, he checked the timesheets, and then he found out, well, they said they were working on this date at this time, but they weren't. There was this one cop who likes to drive race cars. And he was driving race cars over at the track on the West Bank. When it said on his time card for the New Orleans Police Department, he was doing overtime paid detail someplace. But he really wasn't. He was over on the West Bank driving his race car.
He wasn't doing a paid detail on a track?
No, I don't think there were. I don't think that's where he was working. He said he was working someplace else. And they found Lee Zurich. Found a few other cops like that. So there's a few New Orleans police officers. They got questions they got to answer, and these are charges they're going to face. And remember, it's the taxpayers of Orleans Parish. It's the taxpayers of the city of New Orleans who pay the New Orleans police officers when we pay their salaries and we pay when they do the extra overtime paid detail work as well. They can't be lying, saying they're working somewhere, and then they're somewhere else, like on the West Bank, racing cars. And that was one of the cops, and he found a couple of the other cops that their time cards said they would pay detail somewhere, but they really weren't. And
you would think that that would be risky to do, saying that you are someplace somewhere and you're not. So let's say you sign in saying I have a paid detail at this location at this time, and it just so happens while you're not there, a crime is committed. You're expected to be the first responder because that's your detail. So how do you explain that this crime happened at this date and time where I'm supposed to be doing the detail, but I wasn't there? Like, how you would think that would be hard to prove, right? I mean, easy to disprove that you weren't there if something was to happen.
He saves us in the bathroom, dropping a deuce. doing something like that. But yeah, then they found out about this. Plus, I mean, it's police officers who are lying, who are saying that they are working, but they're really not. And that's That's troubling. Again, for a force, it was over 500 cops short. But you know,
so
when you see the money that some of these guys make when they do the paid detail, the overtime, the extra work, they make a lot of money.
All right, I'm a bit fuzzy on this, but I'm assuming, let's say you have a nightclub or a bar, and you need a paid detail to come wash the door because, you know, it could get rowdy and your bouncers may not be doing a job to the best of their standards. Does the business have to pay for that paid detail to the police officer, or is it all taxpayers? Because I'm thinking, if you paid for a detail, or if that's how it works, and now there's cops saying they were at a detail that business paid for, but the cop wasn't there, it's like the business is paying for nothing.
I believe the business pays the New Orleans Police Department, and then through the police department, they get paid. But that bar owner, he's a taxpayer.
Okay.
Of the city of New Orleans.
Yeah. Once again, if the goal is to replenish the New Orleans Police Department, and then you hear stuff like this going on, once again, where's the incentive to join? I mean, I could use
the incentive to join. How about this guy? This guy averaged $200,000 a year in 2018, 2019, and 2020.
And then had Lee Zurich on his ass immediately after that.
Because he wasn't honest. But, yeah, and we're fans of Lee Zurich. He does a great job doing the investigative reporting over there on Fox 8. Boy, we need more police officers, and the ones we have, you know, can't be doing stuff like this. All right, coming up on the show this morning, they're talking about remaking the movie Roadhouse, the Patrick Swayze movie. That movie, it's so bad, it's good. That's why it became a classic, because it's so bad. Should they remake that movie? I guess if there's a few bucks to be made, sure. But there are movies that are remade. I don't know, they remade The Karate Kid not that long ago with Will Smith's son. And I didn't think that needed to happen. By the way, and also on the show this morning, speaking of Will Smith, he's filming a new movie around here, a Civil War era movie. And they're looking for extras, and they will pay you. We will tell you about that, and how you can maybe get something like that. We got a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Phil Collins there, and his band Genesis just started a North American tour. They played the other night. They started that up in Chicago. And Phil Collins' son, one of his sons, is playing drums for Genesis. And Phil Collins is out front, but he's sitting in a chair for a bunch of the show. He's 70 years old now, and he's had some health issues. But Genesis is touring. And there's some videos going around online of some of their songs from when they opened up that tour the other night in Chicago. And it was just, yesterday or a couple of days ago on our show, we told you a story about Phil Collins, about how he, like most rock musicians, really idolized the Beatles and looked up to them. But then he met Paul McCartney once. It was at one of the palaces in England. They were doing there was an appearance there by a bunch of famous people, and they bumped into each other. And Phil Collins had a book about the Beatles that he wanted Paul McCartney to sign. And Paul McCartney was with his then wife, Heather Mills. And Phil Collins, when he bumped into Paul McCartney, said, "Hey, Paul, could you sign this book?" And Paul McCartney looked at his wife and said, Oh, little Phil likes the Beatles.
No, he said, oh, look at that header. Little Phil seems like he's a Beatles fan.
Yeah, little Phil seems like he's a Beatles fan. And that really bothered Phil Collins. And he says ever since that happened, he's hated Paul McCartney. He said one of his heroes, he didn't like the way he spoke to him. And Coleman, you told me you thought Phil Collins was making a big deal out of something. But, I mean, look, he was there. He saw the way Paul McCartney talked to him, and I guess he felt disrespected and said, ever since then, you know, I've hated Paul McCartney.
It wasn't like Paul McCartney was lying. Phil was a bit of a fan. He was saying, look, Heather, Phil's a bit of a fan. Look at him. He likes the Beatles. He wants me to sign his thing. He's a fan. He wasn't lying at all. He was just letting Heather know that Phil was a fan of his.
Well, pretty much everybody in the rock and roll business likes the Beatles. But he just didn't like the way Paul McCartney spoke to him and with his wife.
Nah, he'll get over it.
That day. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. You know, when you're driving around in your car, and this goes without saying, but when I saw this story, I said to myself, you just have to mention, if you ever get in a fender bender, or if you ever collide with another car, even if you're going really slow, you have to pull over. You have to. Well, 2 days ago, on Tuesday, in Destrehan, one car sideswiped another car. As a matter of fact, the car that got sideswiped was a Mercedes. There's a 78-year-old man driving that Mercedes. But the person who sideswiped him, bumped into him, didn't stop. He kept going. But he only went for a block or two because his house was right near where the sideswipe happened. So the man who didn't stop drives another block or two, pulls into his own house. He got out of the car, and the story goes that the 78-year-old man who was driving the Mercedes who got sideswiped and followed the man who sideswiped him back home shot the man. Well, the man then went into his garage and grabbed some sort of pipe or device and ran back out and banged on the old man's window, broke it, and then the old man ended up shooting the man two more times. The shooting victim was airlifted to University Medical Center here in New Orleans, where he is in guarded but stable condition. The old man was banged up a little bit at the scene, but he's all right. And so far, there hasn't been one charge levied. There hasn't been one charge by police filed against either of these guys. But it just goes to show you know, something that seems so small, like a fender bender, a sideswipe, because one guy didn't stop, the man who has been accused of being the sideswiper, and it happened only a block or two from his house in Destrehan, so he just kept going and pulled into his driveway. He ends up getting shot. He got mad that the 78-year-old driver of the car followed him home.
Yeah, the sideswiper made a lot of bad decisions in this exchange. First of all, he sideswiped the person, didn't stop. That's one bad decision. He kept going. Another bad decision. He went to his house, of all places. A very bad decision. And then he decided to take a pipe to a gunfight. A fourth bad decision. This guy who sideswipes is full of bad decisions. I mean, it's lucky. Well, I guess the guy was 70-something years old, so his aim was probably off. I'm surprised that the pipe-wielding sideswiper survived the whole encounter.
You're getting shot more than once.
Yeah.
I don't know if any charges are going to be filed, but it's been 2 days now, and there hasn't been one charge filed yet. But it just shows you a story like that that makes news, and it should have never, ever made news, because when the fender bender happened, when the sideswiper swiped the older man's car, the older man's Mercedes, he should have just pulled over.
I find that most people who hit and run is because they don't have insurance, or they might have a warrant or something, and they know if they did stop, the situation could be worse, because the police could either come and realize they were either driving without a license, driving without insurance, or they have a warrant. So the best thing to do is just to get the hell out of Dodge for them, for their situation.
Maybe that's why the driver didn't stop. I don't know why the driver didn't stop. Because he didn't stop, he's in the hospital right now. And you would think even getting in a little bit of trouble for driving without insurance or something like that be a lot better than being shot several times and being airlifted to the hospital.
Well, they had to airlift them because, you know, if they brought an ambulance, the ambulance might have got sideswiped or something like that.
Yeah, well, I've had my eye on this case. Well, because I have a lazy eye, so I've got one eye on this story, but I'm waiting to see if anybody here gets charged with anything.
This text says, John, I wish I knew where you get your info for the bleep that you talk, because you and Coleman makes my commute to Raceland and Chalmette joyful. Where do you find that bleep that you talk about, John?
Well, this bleep happened to be on a local news website, okay. one of our local television stations. But always looking all over the place for stuff to talk about on the show. We look everywhere.
All right, Texas, that's where we get our bleep from.
Yeah, and thanks for listening to our bleep. We appreciate it. Coming up, they are remaking the movie Roadhouse. Now, I love that movie, and the reason why I love it and that it has become a cult classic is because it was so bad, and it's good. They're remaking it. Is that something that you would watch? Should it even be remade? How do you mess with something so bad? Stay tuned for that. We've got a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. You know whose birthday it is today? Happy birthday to Megyn Kelly. She is 51 years old. She's a news journalist. She used to be on Fox News, and now she's on her own. But I just read a poll where 50% of Republican women want her to be back on Fox News. And 60% men of both political parties want her to do pornography. Happy birthday, Megyn Kelly. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. And since Hurricane Ida came and went, some residents in Metairie are concerned over how many coyotes they're seeing there. And again, this has only happened since Hurricane Ida a couple of months ago. People weren't seeing these coyotes before then. But this has been a recent issue where smack dab in the middle of Metairie, there are several people who have seen coyotes in or around their yards. And they're concerned because, well, some of the people have small children, they have pets, and they don't want the coyotes to eat their pets. This one woman I was reading about said her cat is making all kinds of crazy noises. And then the woman will look outside the window and say, oh, the cat's looking at the coyote. You know, it's wild when you think about it. I mean, living here in Louisiana with so much water around us, I mean, there are other wild animals. I mean, alligators and such, and we're the ones who move in on their land. And now you got coyotes that aren't far from restaurants and stores. I mean, these coyotes aren't very far from Veterans Boulevard. And that's a lot of traffic, a lot of cars, and they just kind of stroll around. And what people are concerned about is that the longer they're hanging around, the less afraid and weary they'll be of people.
Oh, so the goal is to instill fear in coyotes?
Well, maybe that's why we don't see that many coyotes, because they don't want us to see them. But if they're not feared by people or cars or trucks driving down the road, then they may be hanging out with us more. That's what some people in Metairie are concerned about.
Are coyotes bad? Like, or should we be concerned? Like, do they cause danger? Like, should we be afraid for our lives?
Well, I mentioned small children and our pets, our dogs and our cats. They could be taken out by coyotes.
I don't know. You know, when you go on the West Bank and you go on the golf course, we tend to share the golf courses with all the alligators and crocodiles and such. They don't seem to be causing that much of a problem. And I think the reptiles are more dangerous than the coyotes. I'm not really sure. If I had to put a coyote in a fight with an alligator, I would assume the alligator would win. But yet we still hang out with, you know, we point and laugh at the alligators. Like, hey, look at that alligator still in a golf ball. So when I compare that to coyotes and Metairie, it's kind of like, oh, look at that coyote over there just hanging out. Like, I'm not afraid of them yet. They haven't done anything, in my opinion, that should make me, oh, my God, the coyotes are in Metairie. It's like, hey, look at that coyote hanging out in Metairie.
Well, the difference between the alligators and the coyotes, Coleman, is that most people don't think an alligator could catch them.
Okay, they can catch you if they tried. Unless you're running a zigzag.
Alligators can move fast.
Yes, they can.
They really can. But I've never really seen an alligator chasing someone. I've never seen that before. That would be a wild video to see an alligator on grass, like trying to catch up to a human being who's sprinting away from it.
This text says, coyotes bring diseases. That's true, but so do mosquitoes and stuff like that.
That texture's right. That's a problem with the coyotes.
I mean, if the coyotes are hanging around on Veterans Boulevard and they get popped by a car one time, I think that would instill the fear necessary for coyotes to be like, oh, maybe we should stay away from Metairie. The first time a car sideswipes a coyote, pow, and all the coyotes witness it, like, okay, maybe we should back off just a little bit.
Yeah, it's just... To me, it's just pretty amazing when wild animals, here we are, they're living right with us, and now And again, this is I've seen this out of Metairie. You brought up the West Bank. I haven't seen anybody talking about coyotes on the West Bank. Maybe they have a tough time getting across the river. I'm not sure.
Still seems like a Jefferson Parish thing. I mean, I much prefer coyotes and alligators as opposed to zombie raccoons in City Park. You know, so I think Jefferson Parish got the best of the deal than New Orleans does.
But the more we grow as humans, the more we build and move places, and we go into these wild animals' homes. It's their turf, and we'll see what happens with this coyote issue in Metairie. The Metairie coyotes. All right, coming up on the show. Next, it's this morning's Big O. And this has to do with a movie that's being remade. And I don't know if I want to see this movie being remade. Although I said the same thing about The Karate Kid. Will Smith's son starred as The Karate Kid a couple of years ago, and I didn't think that movie needed to be remade, but hey, people can remake any movie they want if there's money to be made, right? But this movie that's being remade is a cult classic from the 80s, and the reason why it's a cult classic is because it's so bad it's good. That's next, and I want to get your take on it here on Bayou 95.7 New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, I'm John Osterlund. Since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. Oh.
Big O is a segment I always want to get your take on. You've seen the movie Roadhouse, starring Patrick Swayze. You have, haven't you? Coleman, you've seen it.
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't seen it fully, like, from start to finish.
It's become a cult classic. And it's become a cult classic because it's so bad that it's good. That it's entertaining. It's so bad that when you start watching it, you can't stop. The movie was made in 1989, and Patrick Swayze, he was coming off Dirty Dancing and another massive film, and so Patrick Swayze was huge when he signed on to do Roadhouse. And from what I understand, when they were filming that movie, he was so big that women would show up where they were filming the movie. The movie was set in Missouri, but it was filmed in California.
Okay.
So there were times when they were filming this movie that they had to sneak him in and sneak him out because there were so many women that were just hanging around looking for him. Because again, he's coming off of Dirty Dancing, which was immense.
Well, can we take the time to appreciate that these women were able to find where Patrick Swayze was filming at pre-internet, pre-Instagram, pre-social media? They figured it out. That's dedication. He must have been really hot to these women
in the 80s. That's a good point. Well, again, when a movie is filming in a town and in California, they film this in a couple of different places. Small towns, though. And when a movie like that is filming in a small town and you've got one of the biggest movie stars in the world coming to that small town, word would get out. But that movie also starred the great Sam Elliott. I mean, who doesn't like Sam Elliott? Kelly Lynch, really good looking. She was the love interest of Patrick Swayze in that movie. And they had a legendary actor who played the bad guy, a guy named Ben Gazzara, who was in some Hollywood classics back in the day. But he played Wesley. And the whole movie was about this bar, this big bar called the Double Deuce. But there were fights in there all the time. It was in a small town, and the owner of the bar needed to clean it up.
People who really want to have a good time won't come to a slaughterhouse. And we've got entirely too many troublemakers here. Too many 40-year-old adolescents, felons, power drinkers, and trustees of modern chemistry. It's going to change.
So the owner of the bar hires Patrick Swayze to be the... In the bar, and this is one of the things I learned from this movie, they said, we're hiring a new cooler. We need a new cooler. That's what they call the bouncer.
All right.
A cooler. I never knew that until I saw Roadhouse.
Yeah, I think the cooler comes from the bouncer is there to kick people out, but the cooler is the guy that kind of that's trying to stop things from happening to the point where they need the bouncer. They need somebody to cool things off. Like when things start to get heated, they need a cooler to cool it off. Like, hey, before things get rough, let's cool out a bit. And then when the cooler isn't able to cool things off, then the bouncer comes in and starts tossing people out the establishment.
So the bar hires Patrick Swayze, and he comes in and he has to fire some people because they're stealing from the bar. They're robbing the bar, and you know, one of the actors who played a bartender who Patrick Swayze fired, his name is John Doe, and he was in the legendary punk band X.
Hmm.
He's also an actor too, and he was in that movie, and he's one of the guys that Patrick Swayze had a fire.
I think Terry Funk, the wrestler, was in the movie as well, if I recall correctly, based on the bits and pieces that I saw.
In Roadhouse?
Yeah, I don't know. I just picture his face in there for some reason. I may be wrong, but if somebody who's familiar with Terry Funk and has seen Roadhouse, correct me.
I'm not sure about that, but they had a great musician in that movie, the blind guitar player, the late great Jeff Healey. His band was the house band at the Double Deuce, and they would play there a lot.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was Texas was beating you up. He's not saying Jeff Healey. Like he's got it, Texas. He's got
it. Yeah. Jeff Healey was I guess he was the leader of the house band who played the Double Deuce, and but there were a lot of fights And Sam Elliott was an older cooler. He was an older bouncer. And I guess Patrick Swayze's character learned a lot from him. And then he came into the movie to help out Patrick Swayze. And I don't want to give any spoilers in case you haven't seen it. But it's one of those movies that became a cult classic. And it's on cable television a lot. And it's one of those movies where if I'm just sitting on the couch and I'm flicking channels and Roadhouse comes on, one of the channels that I'm flipping through, I'll almost always stop and watch.
All you have to do is follow three simple rules. One, never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected. Two, take it outside. Never start anything inside the bar unless it's absolutely necessary. And three, be nice.
It doesn't matter where in the movie it is. If I'm flipping through, I'll usually stop and watch at least until it goes to a commercial or something like that. But it's one of those movies because seemingly every scene, it's just over the top. It's so bad, but you can't stop watching it.
If somebody gets in your face and calls you a cocksucker, I want you to be nice. Ask him to walk, but be nice. If he won't walk, walk him, but be nice. If you can't walk him, one of the others will help you, and you'll both be nice. I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
How awesome is that line? I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
Oh, fantastic dialogue.
Yeah, I was correct. A lot of people. Terry Funk played a guy named Morgan. That's the guy who could
have
been.
Oh, that was Terry Funk?
Yeah, that was Terry Funk. Yeah, he could have been a barber, apparently. Go to barber college. That was the line that he told Terry Funk.
One of the guys in the movie, one of the actors, he played Red, who owned an auto parts store. But in real life, that guy Red, he was part of Elvis Presley's Memphis Mafia.
Hmm.
And he was close with Elvis back in the day. But the movie, again, it's so bad, it's good. The reason I'm bringing it up is because it looks like they're going to make another version of Roadhouse. They're going to remake it. MGM Studios, they want Jake Gyllenhaal to be the Patrick Swayze character, and they're hiring a big name director, Doug Liman, to direct it. So MGM, it looks like nothing is final yet, but they're in negotiations with these two, and if this happens, they're going to remake one of the worst movies ever made. But that's why it became a cult classic.
This text says, I wish John would stop saying it's a bad movie. It's totally not. This text says, John, I don't know what's wrong with you, but Roadhouse is awesome. I can quote every line, too.
No, it's awesome. I'm telling you the reason why it's awesome. It's not awesome because the acting is great. It's not awesome because it's deep. It is what it is.
Big Papa says, one of my favorite movies of all time. Are you sure it's not deep? Because I think it's about psychology. Wasn't the guy, the star of Patrick Swayze, he had a degree in psychology from a college, and he was using psychology to be the cooler. Like, hey, be nice. You know, you got to mentally psych out your opponent or whatever. He was into it's about male psychology. It was deep, I guess.
But the bar, the double douche, it's in a small town. And this one guy, the bad guy, literally owns the town. And I guess nobody can do business in that town without paying him. And so he doesn't like it that Patrick Swayze is coming to clean up the double deuce. And again, the bad guy, his name's Wesley, and he's portrayed by a legendary Hollywood actor who was in classic movies way back in the day. An actor named Ben Gazzara. And, you know, there's one scene where Patrick Swayze, Wesley! Yells at him. But I want to know, if Roadhouse gets remade, are you going to watch it? Is that a movie that you would watch?
The Jake Gyllenhaal version of it.
Yeah, if they remake the movie. See, they just, a couple of years ago, remade The Karate Kid with Will Smith's son as The Karate Kid. And maybe it's because when The Karate Kid came out, you know, I was in high school, and I remember seeing that in the movie theater with my friends. I remember after the movie going outside the movie theater and doing the Ralph Macchio move, the Danielson move, you know, standing on and raising one leg and putting my arms out. I remember doing that. I still remember that. I couldn't tell you what I had for lunch 2 days ago, but I remember that. So when that movie, The Karate Kid, came out, at that particular time in my life, all of those years go by, and then they say, well, Will Smith's son is going to be The Karate Kid. And a couple of years ago, they released that. And I said, I don't want to watch that. There's only one Karate Kid for me. I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. Since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. 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 Oh.
Big O is a segment I always want to get your take on. You've seen the movie Roadhouse, starring Patrick Swayze. You have, haven't you? Coleman, you've seen it.
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't seen it fully, like, from start to finish.
It's become a cult classic. And it's become a cult classic because it's so bad that it's good. That it's entertaining. It's so bad that when you start watching it, you can't stop. The movie was made in 1989. And Patrick Swayze, he was coming off Dirty Dancing and another massive film. And so Patrick Swayze was huge when he signed on to do Roadhouse. And from what I understand, when they were filming that movie, he was so big that women would show up where they were filming the movie. The movie was set in Missouri, but it was filmed in California.
Okay.
So there were times when they were filming this movie that they had to sneak him in and sneak him out because there were so many women that were just hanging around looking for him. Because again, he's coming off of Dirty Dancing, which was immense.
Well, can we take the time to appreciate that these women were able to find where Patrick Swayze was filming at pre-internet, pre-Instagram, pre-social media? They figured it out. That's dedication. He must have been really hot to these women
back in the 80s. That's a good point. Well, again, when a movie is filming in a town, and in California, they film this in a couple of different places. Small towns, though. And when a movie like that is filming in a small town, and you've got one of the biggest movie stars in the world coming to that small town, word would get out. But that movie also starred the great Sam Elliott. I mean, who doesn't like Sam Elliott? Kelly Lynch, really good looking. She was the love interest of Patrick Swayze in that movie. And they had a legendary actor who played the bad guy, a guy named Ben Gazzara, who was in some Hollywood classics back in the day. But he played Wesley. And the whole movie was about this bar, this big bar called the Double Deuce, but there were fights in there all the time. It was in a small town, and the owner of the bar needed to clean it up.
People who really want to have a good time won't come to a slaughterhouse, and we've got entirely too many troublemakers here. Too many 40-year-old adolescents, felons, power drinkers, and trustees of modern chemistry. It's going to change.
So the owner of the bar hires Patrick Swayze to be in the bar, and this is one of the things I learned from this movie. They said, we're hiring a new cooler. We need a new cooler. That's what they call the bouncer.
All right.
A cooler. I never knew that until I saw Roadhouse.
Yeah, I think the cooler comes from the bouncer is there to kick people out, but the cooler is the guy that kind of that's trying to stop things from happening to the point where they need the bouncer. They need somebody to cool things off. Like when things start to get heated, they need a cooler to cool it off. Like, hey, before things get rough, let's cool out a bit. And then when the cooler isn't able to cool things off, then the bouncer comes in and starts tossing people out the establishment.
So the bar hires Patrick Swayze, and he comes in and he has to fire some people because they're stealing from the bar. They're robbing the bar. And, you know, one of the actors who played a bartender who Patrick Swayze fired, his name is John Doe, and he was in the legendary punk band X.
Hmm.
He's also an actor, too, and he was in that movie, and he's one of the guys that Patrick Swayze had a fire.
I think Terry Funk, the wrestler, was in the movie as well, if I recall correctly, based on the bits and pieces that I saw.
In Roadhouse?
Yeah, I don't know. I just picture his face in there for some reason. I may be wrong, but if somebody who's familiar with Terry Funk and has seen Roadhouse, correct me.
I'm not sure about that. But they had a great musician in that movie, the blind guitar player, the late, great Jeff Healey. His band was the house band at the Double Deuce. And they would play there a lot.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was texting, was beating you up. He's not saying Jeff Healey. Like, he's got it, Texas. He's got
it. Yeah, Jeff Healey was I guess he was the leader of the house band who played the Double Deuce. And, I mean, but there were a lot of fights and Sam Elliott was an older cooler. He was an older bouncer, and I guess Patrick Swayze's character learned a lot from him, and then he came into the movie to help out Patrick Swayze. And I don't want to give any spoilers in case you haven't seen it. But it's one of those movies that became a cult classic, and it's on cable television a lot. And it's one of those movies where if I'm just sitting on the couch and I'm flicking channels and Roadhouse comes on, one of the channels that I'm flipping through, I'll almost always stop and watch.
All you have to do is follow three simple rules. One, never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected. Two, take it outside. Never start anything inside the bar unless it's absolutely necessary. And three, be nice.
It doesn't matter where in the movie it is. If I'm flipping through, I'll usually stop and watch at least until it goes to a commercial or something like that. But it's one of those movies because seemingly every scene, it's just over the top. It's so bad, but you can't stop watching it.
If somebody gets in your face and calls you a cocksucker, I want you to be nice. Ask him to walk, but be nice. If he won't walk, walk him, but be nice. If you can't walk him, one of the others will help you, and you'll both be nice. I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
How awesome is that line? I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
Oh, fantastic dialogue.
Yeah, I was correct. A lot of people. Terry Funk played a guy named Morgan. That's the guy who.
Was Terry Funk?
Yeah, that was Terry Funk. Yeah, he could have been a barber, apparently. Go to barber college. That was the line that he told Terry Funk.
One of the guys in the movie, one of the actors, he played Red, who owned an auto parts store. But in real life, that guy, Red, he was part of Elvis Presley's Memphis Mafia.
Hmm.
And he was close with Elvis back in the day. But the movie, again, it's so bad, it's good. The reason I'm bringing it up is because it looks like they're going to make another version of Roadhouse. They're going to remake it. MGM Studios... They want Jake Gyllenhaal to be the Patrick Swayze character, and they're hiring a big name director, Doug Liman, to direct it. So MGM, it looks like nothing is final yet, but they're in negotiations with these two, and if this happens, they're going to remake one of the worst movies ever made, but that's why it became a cult classic.
This text says, I wish John would stop saying it's a bad movie. It's totally not. This text says, John, I don't know what's wrong with you, but Roadhouse is awesome. I can quote every line, too.
No, it's awesome. I'm telling you the reason why it's awesome. It's not awesome because the acting is great. It's not awesome because it's deep. It is what it is.
Big Papa says, one of my favorite movies of all time. Are you sure it's not deep? Because I think it's about psychology. Wasn't the guy, the star of Patrick Swayze, he had a degree in psychology from a college, and he was using psychology to be the cooler. Like, hey, be nice. You know, you got to mentally psych out your opponent or whatever. It's about male psychology. It was deep, I guess.
But the bar, the double douche, it's in a small town. And this one guy, the bad guy, literally owns the town. And I guess nobody can do business in that town without paying him. And so he doesn't like it that Patrick Swayze is coming to clean up the double deuce. And again, the bad guy, his name's Wesley, and he's portrayed by a legendary Hollywood actor who was in classic movies way back in the day. An actor named Ben Gazzara. And, you know, there's one scene where Patrick Swayze, Wesley! Yells at him. But I want to know, if Roadhouse gets remade, are you going to watch it? Is that a movie that you would watch?
The Jake Gyllenhaal version of it.
Yeah, if they remake the movie. See, they just, a couple of years ago, remade The Karate Kid with Will Smith's son as The Karate Kid. And maybe it's because when The Karate Kid came out, you know, I was in high school, and I remember seeing that in the movie theater with my friends. I remember after the movie going outside the movie theater and doing the Ralph Macchio move, the Danielson move, you know, standing on and raising one leg and putting my arms out. I remember doing that. I still remember that. I couldn't tell you what I had for lunch 2 days ago, but I remember that. So when that movie, The Karate Kid, came out, at that particular time in my life, all of those years go by, and then they say, well, Will Smith's son is going to be The Karate Kid. And a couple of years ago, they released that. And I said, I don't want to watch that. There's only one Karate Kid for me. I couldn't imagine seeing any other Karate Kid.
Yeah, that's not too many successful remakes. Dune was unsuccessful. When they tried to remake Ghostbusters with the female cast. There's a lot of movies Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, a lot of movies that they try to remake from the original, it never flies. I don't know why they keep trying it.
But there are some that, A Star Is Born did really well.
Oh, yeah. I think Ocean's 11 was better than the Rat Pack
version. The original Rat Pack version?
Yeah, George Clooney's version was better.
So if you're listening right now, I mean, I'm not wrong about Roadhouse, am I? And again, I love it. But it became a cult classic because it's so bad, it's good. That's why. Will you watch the remake? Is it a movie that you want to see remade? I'd probably watch it because I've seen the original so many times. I'd want to see how they remade it. But they're bringing on a couple of big names they're in negotiations with, and they're going to spend a lot of money to make a movie that originally was just, I mean, it didn't make much money in the box office when it came out in 1989. It became a cult classic on television. Text us. 504-260-9595. Keep your text short. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. Please never text while you're driving. Roadhouse may be remade. I want your thoughts about that. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Today is the Great American Smokeout. According to a new study, smoking makes you fat, which gives a whole new meaning to the phrase cigarette butt.
Oh, I thought you meant when you said smoke out day.
Smoke weed every day.
But it's not April 20th, though.
No. You know, I always thought that people gained weight when they quit smoking cigarettes. I didn't. And have you ever noticed any really fat people smoking cigarettes?
Oh yeah, they come in all shapes and forms. When I go to, or at the bar I go to, so yeah.
Yeah, usually when you see someone like that, it's like pick one or the other. But anyways, today's the Great American Smokeout. Coming up next, your texts on the movie Roadhouse, which is in negotiations to be remade right now with Jake Gyllenhaal starring as the Patrick Swayze character. I can't believe how many people love the movie Roadhouse. I love it too, but I love it because it's so bad it's good. That's why it became a cult classic. Some people, hey, it's not that bad. Well, it's not going to be confused with The Godfather or Casablanca. Your texts on the Roadhouse movie and the remake of it next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. If you're just joining us, this morning's Big O segment, it's about the movie Roadhouse. It looks like they're going to remake that movie. I know MGM Studios are in negotiations with Jake Gyllenhaal to play the Patrick Swayze character, and they got a big-name director, too. Nothing's finalized yet, but they're in negotiations. Roadhouse was made in 1989. Patrick Swayze was immense at that point, coming off of Dirty Dancing. And Roadhouse has become a cult classic because it's so bad, it's good. I'm surprised we've gotten a lot of texts from people that said, what do you mean it's so bad? I love that movie. Well, the reason you love it is because it's over the top. You don't love it like you love The Godfather or like you like other classic movies.
This text says, John, you need to stop judging the movie. That isn't nice.
I love the movie. And like I said, when I'm sitting on the couch, if I'm flipping through, because cable television shows it all the time now, I always stop.
You're definitely hurting a lot of people by saying that the movie was bad, because it really was that. It really, really was good. This text says, Roadhouse is a great movie, period, end of story. This text says, my night is beer, candles, Roadhouse, and a bottle of lube. Wow. This text says, leave perfection alone. They tried the Roadhouse 2 and it flopped. The first one is the only one. Robert says, I can't move past the fact that people consider this a cult classic.
It is a cult classic because it's on cable television so much. And why do you think it's on there? It's again, people like it. I mean, the acting isn't great. It's not the deepest storyline, plot. It's just the way they made the movie. Again, the way I look at it, it's so bad it's good. You can't stop watching it.
Ricky says, it's a great movie because it's a dude's movie. So I'll go see the remake. Barry says, they should stop remaking good movies and start remaking movies that failed. Stop ruining the originals.
Well, you know, that brings up a good question. Obviously, they remake movies because they think they can make a lot of money. That's why they pick a movie to remake.
Now, sometimes they remake them because the special effects and the technology is better, so they feel like the director can show their vision better than the originals.
But why would they remake a great movie? I mentioned The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't imagine anybody remaking The Godfather. I mean, there's no point in remaking The Godfather because nobody could make that movie any better than it already is.
The Kingfish says, Roadhouse? Absolutely. It can only get better, right? I guess he's somebody. He would definitely go see it. And Robbie says, I think they should get somebody more badass than Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, do you like Jake Gyllenhaal in the Patrick Swayze role? Is that something that, I mean, he was in Brokeback Mountain, wasn't he, Jake Gyllenhaal?
I think he was. Chris says, hey, John, I would love to see the new Roadhouse, but I would love to see Hugh Jackman as the Sam Elliott's character, Wade.
All right, Hugh Jackman is Wade? Yeah, the great Sam Elliott. He's fantastic in Roadhouse. I mean, Sam Elliott's fantastic in everything he's ever been in. When Sam Elliott does those beef commercials, he's fantastic.
Beef. It's what's for dinner.
Cohen from Homer says, I think Roadhouse could be remade. Who knows if it will be better than the original, unlike the newer Karate Kid.
Yeah, see, don't go to the Karate Kid. Don't go there with me. Because like I mentioned, when that original came out, I was in high school. I remember standing outside the movie theater after I saw it on one leg across from one of my friends. And we were... And then when they remade that a couple of years ago, I said, I'm not even going to watch it with Will Smith's son. Because when that movie came out, I was in high school. That was such a huge time in my life. There's only one Karate Kid as far as I'm concerned.
You know what's being remade right now? I just saw the trailer. West Side Story.
Nah.
That's coming out sooner or later. I think sometime the beginning of next year. But is that something that could be potentially better because of the new special effects and movies and choreography and dance moves that we got out now? Who knows?
Well, if this Roadhouse movie is remade, I'll watch it. And I will continue being the couch potato who flips through. And every time I see Roadhouse on a cable television station, I always stop. It doesn't matter where in the movie it is, because you know it's going to be entertaining.
Last one. Peter Griffin's Roadhouse is the only remake we need. And I agree. Roadhouse.
Thank you for your texts. Always appreciate them. Coming up next on the show, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And speaking of Will Smith, he's making a movie right now in Louisiana. And I'm going to tell you next, because they're looking for extras. I'm going to tell you how you could maybe make a few bucks on a Will Smith movie. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O., here with you. And tonight starts the new NFL football week. If you haven't signed up for our King of the Bayou football challenge, do so. You pick the most winners. You'll win $50 to go spend at Zapardo's Family Market in Metairie. And you want to sign up because tonight starts the new week. Like I said, if you haven't signed up yet and you're late, you won't be able to win the grand prize. We got over $6,000, the diamond ring. Got the Drew Brees autographed Saints jersey and Drew Brees autographed football. But since you got in late, you could still win the weekly prize, which every week is $50 to go spend at Zapardo's Family Market. You pick the games, no point spreads, just pick who you think's going to win. And if you pick the most winners, you win that 50 spot. Do that on our website at Bayou957.com. Just click on the King of the Bayou box, and it's free. It don't cost nothing. And it only takes a minute to sign up and pick the games and grab a few friends or some co-workers. This is a good battle you could have. Like we're having a battle here.
It's not even close. It's not a battle.
With the Bayou crew, Coleman's winning right now.
By five. Thank you. It's not a battle.
Got half the football season to go, so go sign up. Coleman, you're beating me by five games.
Right. The only battle is between like you and Josh and the boss man and Ginty, because y'all still in the same little area. I'm miles away. I'm running away with this thing, John.
Well, Coleman, I've got to change that in the second half of the season. Tonight, it's the Atlanta Falcons hosting the New England Patriots. So, Coleman, you're picking the Falcons, right?
No. No. Did you see what Dallas did?
Yeah, they were. I mean, Atlanta comes here, they beat the Saints, and then the week after that, they go to Dallas, and they're down 36-3 at halftime. At halftime, how did that team beat the Saints the week before? And by the way, the rookie quarterback for the Patriots, Mac Jones from Alabama, he was the last rookie picked.
out of all those first round rookie quarterbacks that were picked in last year's draft, he is playing the best out of all of the rookie quarterbacks. And he is got that team doing well. The New England Patriots travel to Atlanta to take on the Falcons tonight. You sure you don't like the Falcons, Coleman? I'm really digging the Falcons tonight.
All right, well, let's see what happens.
sign up on our website. Be a part of this. It's a lot of fun. Bayou957.com. Click on our King of the Bayou box. So, Will Smith, the actor, is in the area filming his new movie. It's about the Civil War. And they're looking for extras. You got a little bit of time on your hands? Would you like to make some extra money? Because extras get paid.
Cha-ching.
To do that. Email movie@centralcasting.com.
Okay, I'm doing it as we speak.
And you'll see the new Will Smith movie up there. And then you just you put your information in there, and it's called Sacred Motivation. That's the new Will Smith movie. And it's shooting all around here. It's shooting a lot in St. Tammany Parish. So send an email. If you're looking to make a few bucks, or movie@centralcasting.com.
But you're a history buff, and you do like stuff pertaining to wars like World War I, World War II. Why don't you go try out, John? We'll be an extra in the movie, one of the Civil War.
I may do that. I may send them an email.
Yeah, do that. What would you prefer to be, the Confederate or the Union?
Look, I don't know, but I think they are looking for extras to be Civil War
right
participants.
Yeah, they're especially looking for those that have like amputees or stuff like that to reenact some of the war wounds. So if you are an amputee and you are an actor, you can go ahead on and email them.
But how cool would that be to be able to be an extra in a huge Hollywood production starring one of the biggest stars ever, Will Smith?
I'm going to try out. I don't know whether I'm going to be Confederate or Union yet, but whatever they cast me as, I'll take it.
Yeah, they said they might change your hairstyle to make it look more like the Civil War. Although I've seen, walking around New Orleans a lot lately, you know, I've seen some hairstyles that look like they could have been around during the Civil War.
You would think the best way to go is just get Civil War reenactors. Isn't that like a thing? Don't they have people that actually spend time and money to reenact the Civil War every year? So it would be their best bet to get in on this, right?
I bet they have some of those.
I'm going to try. This might be my big break, John.
Yeah, they're really looking for black men 18 and older, but they could use some whiteies as well. But they're looking for black men 18 and older as well. And like you said, Coleman, they're looking for those who are amputees.
Yeah, it makes the special effects department's jobs easier when you already come with a war wound or something like that.
And if you get involved in this as an extra, you get paid. The paid extras will be in an epic battle scene, according to the casting director. So that sounds like it would be fun.
Oh, yeah, just run around and pretend to kill people. Then act like you get your arm blown off. Oh, my arm.
And this casting company has worked with a lot of locally filmed movies, such as Jurassic World, Girls Trip, and Logan. So this casting company, this whole thing, this is the real deal. This is a big time Hollywood movie being filmed around here. They're looking for extras, and shoot them an email and see what happens. I don't know exactly how much they pay.
It doesn't matter. As soon as my face is on the screen, it's gonna pay residuals, dividends. This text said, this is Al Coleman. Everyone who goes to be an extra in a movie thinks they're going to get their big break. But I really am, though. That's the difference between me and those other slackers. I'm not a hack. I don't have a SAG card or whatever, but I'm pretty good at acting like I'm dying.
Oh, and a good thing about Coleman is that he's humble. So that should help if you land a role in this gig.
Yeah. Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Yeah, and I love it when movies are filmed around here. I mean, there's been a lot of classic movies that were filmed around here. You know, right down the street from where we're sitting, we're in the CBD here in New Orleans. But right around the corner from us, right down St. Charles Avenue is a hotel, the Lafayette Hotel. It's right next to Lafayette Square. They filmed a bunch of the classic movie, The Cincinnati Kid, there. That's a movie. Steve McQueen was the star. Edward G. Robinson was in that. And it was about a poker player. And they had the legendary final scene, the classic poker match between the Steve McQueen character and the Edward G. Robinson character in the Lafayette Hotel. And you see that hotel in the movie. They show behind it, and then they show St. Louis Cemetery number 2. That's where the movie starts, and you see the streets around there. I love it when I'm watching a classic movie, and it was filmed around New Orleans, and I see things that I see now.
Smokey says, I was an extra for The Skeleton Key, and it was a fun experience. But how much did you get paid, Smokey?
Smoke weed every day.
Actually, I've got that. The extras will be paid $210 per day.
Oh, I'm getting in on this.
With an additional $100 per COVID test, $40 daily gas stipend, and you get $31.25 for a required 2-hour costume fitting in New Orleans. So you add all of that together, that's some decent coin.
Cha-ching.
I'm definitely going. I'm getting in on this for real. I needs that.
So it's the latest. It's the Will Smith movie. It's about the Civil War. And, you know, movies he's usually involved in are good. It's called Sacred Motivation.
Yeah, my sacred motivation is this money that they're dishing out.
And if you could use a few extra bucks and you got a little bit of time and you can work as an extra on this, do it soon. Do it today. Email them, again, movie@centralcasting.com. All right, coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. An NFL quarterback's wife is hearing it from the fans, and the company Apple has made some news. I guess they're making their iPhones now and their iPads. They're making it available for you to repair them yourselves if you need to. That it wasn't always like that. You usually, with an Apple product, you couldn't repair it yourself. You usually had to bring it to one of their houses to get rid. Stay tuned for those reports here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Journey is coming to New Orleans in April. They're playing the Smoothie King Center. Tickets go on sale for that show tomorrow, although we've got your tickets today. Listen at 9, 2, and 5. And then when you hear a Journey song, that's when you go to our website, Bayou957.com. Click on the box that says, win Journey tickets. And then they tell you what to do. I think you got to type in the name of the song that we're playing. And you could win a pair of tickets to go see Journey. They're coming here with Toto. It's in April at the Smoothie King Center. And we've got your tickets. Win them before you can buy them.
Yeah, and your first chance to win is less than 30 minutes away. How about that?
Yeah, the 9 part of the 9, 2, and 5 deal is only a few minutes away. So good luck, and I hope you win. Be paying attention. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this has to do with an NFL quarterback's wife. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Los Angeles Rams quarterback's wife apologizes after throwing pretzel at a fan.
Paya!
During the Rams 49ers game this past Monday night. You know, a lot of people thought the Rams were a Super Bowl team, and they're still a good team, but they're not looking very good lately. And the 49ers whooped them on Monday night. And evidently in the stands in Northern California, some people were ripping the Rams quarterback, Matthew Stafford, and his wife had heard enough, and she threw a pretzel. One of the big pretzels you get.
Paya!
Threw the pretzel right at the fan because she didn't like what he was saying about her husband. Look, Matthew Stafford and his wife have been around for a long time. This can't be the first time she's heard people speak negatively about her husband, and she should know better.
And but then again, like the fact that she happens to be his wife, does that make a difference? Because this is normal fan behavior. If two fans fight in the stands, you don't expect one fan to apologize to the other fan. It was just that who she is, now she has to apologize.
Exactly. She's the quarterback's wife.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in the league over a decade. I mean, she's been to lots of games. She should know better. She
can't be a regular fan and get into a brawl like everyone else, like the Bills Mafia, nothing like that?
No, the wife of the quarterback.
That's not fair.
Can't do that. So she had to. She took to Twitter to apologize, and she said she had a weak moment, and she said, "I'm an idiot." He was saying a bunch of things that were aggressive towards our crew, but zero excuse. So she was with friends, and evidently the person in the stands was saying stuff about her and her friends. She said, I knew I was wrong after I threw the pretzel.
No, passionate fans. What could you do?
Mm. So the wife of the quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams, Matthew Stafford's wife, apologizing after throwing a pretzel at a fan during a Rams 49ers game this past Monday night. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
Well, that was dumb.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O., here with you. And tonight starts the new NFL football week. If you haven't signed up for our King of the Bayou football challenge, do so. You pick the most winners, you'll win $50 to go spend at Zapardo's Family Market in Metairie. And you want to sign up, because tonight starts the new week. Like I said, if you haven't signed up yet and you're late, you won't be able to win the grand prize. We got over $6,000. You get the diamond ring, got the Drew Brees autographed Saints jersey and Drew Brees autographed football. But since you got in late, you could still win the weekly prize, which every week is $50 to go spend at Zapardo's Family Market. You pick the games, no point spreads. Just pick who you think's going to win, and if you pick the most winners, you win that 50 spot. Do that on our website at bayou957.com. Just click on the King of the Bayou box, and it's free. It don't cost nothing. And it only takes a minute to sign up and pick the games and grab a few friends or some coworkers. This is a good battle you could have. Like we're having a battle here.
It's not even close. It's not a battle.
With the Bayou crew, Coleman's winning right now.
By five. Thank you. It's not a battle.
Got half the football season to go. So go sign up. Coleman, you're beating me by five games.
Right. The only battle is between like you and Josh and the boss man and Ginty, because y'all still in the same little area. I'm miles away. I'm running away with this thing, John.
Well, Coleman, I've got to change that in the second half of the season. Tonight, it's the Atlanta Falcons hosting the New England Patriots. So, Coleman, you're picking the Falcons, right?
No. No. Did you see what Dallas did?
Yeah, they were. I mean, Atlanta comes here. They beat the Saints. And then the week after that, they go to Dallas, and they're down 36-3 at halftime. At halftime. How did that team beat the Saints the week before? And by the way, the rookie quarterback for the Patriots, Mac Jones from Alabama, he was the last rookie picked out of all those first-round rookie quarterbacks that were picked in last year's draft. He is playing the best out of all of the rookie quarterbacks. And he is got that team doing well. The New England Patriots travel to Atlanta to take on the Falcons tonight. You sure you don't like the Falcons, Coleman? I'm really digging the Falcons tonight.
All right, well, let's see what happens.
Sign up on our website. Be a part of this. It's a lot of fun. Bayou957.com. Click on our King of the Bayou box. So, Will Smith, the actor, is in the area filming his new movie. It's about the Civil War. And they're looking for extras. You got a little bit of time on your hands? Would you like to make some extra money, because extras get paid
cha-ching
to do that? Email movie@centralcasting.com.
Okay, I'm doing it as we speak.
And you'll see the new Will Smith movie up there. And then you just you put your information in there, and it's called Sacred Motivation. That's the new Will Smith movie. And it's shooting all around here. It's shooting a lot in St. Tammany Parish. So send an email if you're looking to make a few bucks, or movie@centralcasting.com.
Well, you're a history buff, and you do like stuff pertaining to wars like World War One, World War Two. Why don't you go try out, John? We'll be an extra in the movie, one of the Civil War.
I may do that. I may send them an email.
Yeah, do that. What would you prefer to be, the Confederate or the Union?
Look, I don't I don't know, but I think they are looking for extras to be Civil War participants.
Yeah, they're especially looking for those that have like amputees or stuff like that to reenact some of the war wounds. So if you are an amputee and you are an actor, you can go ahead on and email them.
But how cool would that be to be able to be an extra in a huge Hollywood production starring one of the biggest stars ever, Will Smith?
I'm going to try out. I don't know whether I'm going to be Confederate or Union yet, but whatever they cast me as, I'll take it.
Yeah, they said they might change your hairstyle to make it look more like the Civil War. Although I've seen, walking around New Orleans a lot lately, you know, I've seen some hairstyles that look like they could have been around during the Civil War.
You would think the best way to go is just get Civil War reenactors. Isn't that like a thing? Don't they have people that actually spend time and money to reenact the Civil War every year? So it would be their best bet to get in on this, right?
I bet they have some of those.
I'm going to try. This might be my big break, John.
Yeah, they're really looking for black men, 18 and older, but they could use some whiteies as well. But they're looking for black men, 18 and older as well. And like you said, Coleman, they're looking for those who are amputees.
Yeah, it makes the special effects department's jobs easier when you already come with a war wound or something like that.
And if you get involved in this as an extra, you get paid. The paid extras will be in an epic battle scene, according to the casting director. So that sounds like it would be fun.
Oh, yeah, just run around and pretend to kill people. Then act like you get your arm blown off. Oh, my arm.
And this casting company has worked with a lot of locally filmed movies, such as Jurassic World, Girls Trip, and Logan. So this casting company, I mean, this whole thing, this is the real deal. This is a big-time Hollywood movie being filmed around here. They're looking for extras, and shoot them an email and see what happens. I don't know exactly how much they pay.
It doesn't matter. As soon as my face is on the screen, it's gonna pay residuals, dividends. This text said, this is Al. Coleman, everyone who goes to be an extra in a movie thinks they're going to get their big break. But I really am, though. That's the difference between me and those other slackers. I'm not a hack. I don't have a SAG card or whatever, but I'm pretty good at acting like I'm dying.
Oh, and a good thing about Coleman is that he's humble. So that should help if you land a role in this gig.
Yeah. Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Yeah, and I love it when movies are filmed around here. I mean, there's been a lot of classic movies that were filmed around here. You know, right down the street from where we're sitting, we're in the CBD here in New Orleans. But right around the corner from us, right down St. Charles Avenue, is a hotel, the Lafayette Hotel. It's right next to Lafayette Square. They filmed a bunch of the classic movie, The Cincinnati Kid, there. That's a movie. Steve McQueen was the star. Edward G. Robinson was in that. And it was about a poker player. And they had the legendary final scene, the classic poker match between the Steve McQueen character and the Edward G. Robinson character in the Lafayette Hotel. And you see that hotel in the movie. They show behind it, and then they show St. Louis Cemetery number 2. That's where the movie starts, and you see the streets around there. I love it when I'm watching a classic movie and it was filmed around New Orleans and I see things that I see now.
Smokey says, I was an extra for The Skeleton Key and it was a fun experience. But how much did you get paid, Smokey?
I'll smoke weed every day.
Actually, I've got that. The extras will be paid $210 per day.
Oh, I'm getting in on this.
With an additional $100 per COVID test, $40 daily gas stipend, and you get $31.25 for a required two-hour costume fitting in New Orleans. So you add all of that together, that's some decent coin.
Ching.
I'm definitely going. I'm getting in on this for real. I needs that.
So it's the latest. It's the Will Smith movie. It's about the Civil War. And you know, movies he's usually involved in are good. It's called Sacred Motivation.
Yeah, my sacred motivation is this money that they're dishing out.
And if you could use a few extra bucks and you got a little bit of time and you can work as an extra on this, do it soon. Do it today. Email them, again, movie@centralcasting.com. All right, coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. An NFL quarterback's wife is hearing it from the fans, and the company Apple has made some news. I guess they're making their iPhones now and their iPads. They're making it available for you to repair them yourselves if you need to. That it wasn't always like that. You usually, with an Apple product, you couldn't repair it yourself. You usually had to bring it to one of their houses to get rid. Stay tuned for those reports here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Journey is coming to New Orleans in April. They're playing the Smoothie King Center. Tickets go on sale for that show tomorrow, although we've got your tickets today. Listen at 9, 2, and 5. And then when you hear a Journey song, that's when you go to our website, Bayou957.com. Click on the box that says, hey, win Journey tickets. And then they tell you what to do. I think you got to type in the name of the song that we're playing. And you could win a pair of tickets to go see Journey. They're coming here with Toto. It's in April at the Smoothie King Center. And we've got your tickets. Win them before you can buy them.
Yeah, and your first chance to win is less than 30 minutes away. How about that?
Yeah, the 9 part of the 9, 2, and 5 deal is only a few minutes away. So good luck, and I hope you win. Be paying attention. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this has to do with an NFL quarterback's wife. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Los Angeles Rams quarterback's wife apologizes after throwing pretzel at a fan.
Paya!
During the Rams 49ers game this past Monday night. You know, a lot of people thought the Rams were a Super Bowl team, and they're still a good team, but they're not looking very good lately. And the 49ers whooped them on Monday night. And evidently, in the stands in Northern California, some people were ripping the Rams quarterback, Matthew Stafford, and his wife had heard enough, and she threw a pretzel. One of the big pretzels you get.
Hi-ya!
threw the pretzel right at the fan because she didn't like what he was saying about her husband. Look, Matthew Stafford and his wife have been around for a long time. This can't be the first time she's heard people speak negatively about her husband, and she should know better.
And but then again, like the fact that she happens to be his wife, does that make a difference? Because this is normal fan behavior. If two fans fight in the stands, you don't expect one fan to apologize to the other fan. It was just that who she is, now she has to apologize.
Exactly. She's the quarterback's wife.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in the league over a decade. I mean, she's been to lots of games. She should know better. She
can't be a regular fan and get into a brawl like everyone else, like the Bills Mafia or nothing like that?
No, the wife of the quarterback.
That's not fair.
Can't do that. So she had to, she took to Twitter to apologize. And she said she had a weak moment. And she said, I'm an idiot. He was saying a bunch of things that were aggressive towards our crew. But zero excuse. So she was with friends, and evidently the person in the stands was saying stuff about her and her friends. She said, I knew I was wrong after I threw the pretzel.
No, passionate fans. What could you do?
Mm. So the wife of the quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams, Matthew Stafford's wife, apologizing after throwing a pretzel at a fan during a Rams 49ers game this past Monday night. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
Well, that was dumb.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.